Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Thank you for coming, Joss.
Well, good morning. Am I on? Yeah. Thank you for having me here today. I just want to let you know that I don't like talking in front of people, so I'll just throw that out there right now. But I think that kind of has to do with what I want to talk to you about today, and the fact that when God calls us to do something, He calls us and He prepares us and He calls us because we are capable and able to do what He has called us to, and not He doesn't call us to something that we're not prepared for or that we're not able to do. We just need to believe that we are who God says we are and that we can do what He's called us to. So I want to talk a little bit just about my journey over the last couple of years, the journey that got me here, somewhere I never thought I would have been a few years ago. So I'm married to an amazing woman, Brooke. And I have four children, so Lily's the oldest. She's 7, Felix is 3, Sawyer is 1, and then little Romeo was just born less than 3 weeks ago. So he's a little one. Yeah, so I just want to start by sharing a little bit of my story, and I want you guys not to focus on, the point of the story is not about me, it's about God and what He's able to do with somebody. So Thanksgiving Sunday 2015, we were attending our church in Newmarket. The worship was happening. Everything was very regular. At this point, Brooke and I were attending church regularly with our two children, but I wouldn't say I was actively living for Jesus. In a lot of ways, I was just going through the motions. Everything for me changed that morning. God shut off the rest of the world around me, and He spoke to me. He told me that He wanted me to go back to school and prepare for ministry. This was not something that had ever been on my mind. I had never even had a thought about it. I was running a renovation business at the time, and honestly, things were going pretty well. So I responded to God. I said, "How? How do you expect me to do this? We have bills to pay. We have a family." And that's when He responded and just said, "Sell your house, and you'll have all you need." So, okay. So I said, "Okay." I didn't know what else to say. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I knew that it was God, and I knew that I couldn't say no. So after church that day, Brooke and I talked. She noticed that something had happened with me during the service. So I told her that God wanted us to sell our house. I excluded the part about school because I still really wasn't sure that that's where I wanted to go. I still was kind of deciding what I wanted to trust God with at that point. Brooke is amazingly supportive, and we began to get the house ready to sell right away. She didn't ask any questions. She just said, "Okay." The house sold right away for way over our asking price and kind of confirmed that we were moving the right direction. So we went out to dinner to celebrate that day and try to figure out what we were going to do next. During dinner, Brooke looked up at me and said, "I know this might sound crazy, but I really think you're supposed to go back to school. It's something to do with Christian ministry." And so, that kind of blew me away. I had still not mentioned anything to her about schooling. And if you knew Brooke, you would know that this was not something she was pushing me into. This was God putting it on her heart for confirmation. This was definitely what God wanted, so I obeyed. I enrolled in a one-year certificate program at Tyndale and started in January, less than 3 months after God originally called me. The funny thing is that all my work stopped coming at that same time. I'd never been without work during the time I was running my business, and everything finished at Christmas that year, and I had no more work. So it was just all these things along the way that kind of let me know that, okay, we were heading in the right direction. He provided all the necessary finances from selling our house that I could take one full year off of work and focus on studying. He provided us with the perfect new house, all in perfect timing as only He can. The house we sold was in Newmarket, and God moved us to Cookstown. I won't go into all the details about the house purchase, but it was clearly God-led, and we moved to the community for a reason. The whole time I was in school, I had no idea where God was taking me. I knew we were in Cookstown on purpose, but honestly, the thought of planting a church had never crossed my mind. I thought maybe God was leading me into some kind of not-for-profit work that had something to do with renovations, something where I could use the skills I had. Well, remember, God knows better. He knows what we are suited for and how we can be used for His kingdom. But we have to be all in. We have to trust that He knows what He's doing. If it had been up to me, I never would have chosen this path for my life. But as I continue to walk it, I'm learning more about myself and why God has put me in this place. I'll just tell you a little bit about how God directed me into planting the church after I finished school. So I finished school mid-December 2016, roughly 2 years ago. At this point, we had three kids now. And honestly, I was confused. I thought, you know what, God called me to go back to school. He would lay everything out for me perfectly, and when school finished, I would walk right into this new path that He had. And that didn't happen. I finished school, and I had no idea what I was doing. We had no money. I had no idea where I was supposed to go. And that's when people started asking, oh, so are you going to go back and do renovation work? And it's not that I was against it, but I just wanted to be obedient to what God wanted. I knew that He had called me back to school for a purpose, and I didn't want to just end up back doing the same thing I was before and forget all about this call God had put on me. So I prayed. I pleaded with God to tell me what He wanted me to do. I told Him I would do anything. I just wanted to know what He wanted. I wasn't going to do anything until I knew where He wanted me to go. It didn't take long for God to speak. One of the first nights in January, God woke me up in the night from a sound sleep. It was 3 a.m., and if you know me, that's not something that I ever do. I sleep right through all our kids screaming. I'm good. But that night, I was awake and wide awake, and I knew that God had woken me up. So I asked Him, what do you want to say to me? What do you want me to do? And then I waited. I heard Him speak to me so clearly in my spirit, I want you to start a church. That was it. He didn't lay out some great plan for me. He didn't tell me where. He didn't tell me how. So needless to say, I didn't sleep anymore that night. I sat up and started to read through Acts. I figured it was a good place to start thinking about what it means to start a new church. The next morning, I was so overwhelmed, in a good way. Even though I was terrified and had absolutely no idea what I was doing, there was something so amazing about just knowing what God wanted me to do. There was such a peace in it. Even though I didn't know all the details, I knew which direction I was to go. I opened my Bible app that morning, and this was the verse of the day. It's Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. Don't be intimidated. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you with my victorious right hand. Still, as I read that, I still just get overwhelmed, because that feeling of Him just speaking directly to me that morning was exactly what I needed to hear, and I've held on to that verse ever since. And now came the real work of figuring out what I was supposed to do. God made it clear after this that that's why we were in Cookstown. He reminded me of all the times I had pointed out to people that our community had no evangelical presence. I got connected with Vision Ministries not too long after this and started working towards planting a church in Cookstown. This is where I really began to battle with identity and confidence. I thought that if God asked me to start a church, it had to look like other churches. I thought that I had to look like other pastors. I thought I had to fit into something that I wasn't if I was going to do this. But I've discovered more and more as time goes on that that's not the case at all. God didn't call me to start this church in Cookstown because He wanted me to fit into some kind of mold. He called me because I fit into the plans that He had. He knows what He's doing. Our church in Cookstown looks a little different. Although we gather on Sundays as a community, our focus is really on community presence during the week. We opened the coffee house in June. So there's a picture of the building. So we're right at the intersection of Highway 89 and 27. So right in the center of our community. It's a place at the center of the town where we can just be present, where we can just be there. Right now we're open from Tuesdays to Fridays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we also do things a little differently. We give everything away for free. We accept cash donations, but they're not expected or required. People are free to have what they want, and they can leave a donation if they'd like. We do it this way on purpose. The first thing that people ask when you tell them it's all free is, why? Why would you do that? How do you pay the bills? Why do you do this? And it gives us such a great opportunity to speak to people about our faith, about who we are as a church, and how we just want to be a blessing to our community. We want to give freely to them the way Jesus gives freely to us. I've met so many people from our community and had so many amazing conversations with people that just never would have happened if I had just followed some church planting model and rented a school gym. What we are trying to create is really a community place, a place where we can be present in the community as a part of the community, a relaxed environment, a place where there's no pressure. I don't make people talk to me if they come in. If they ask questions, I'm happy to answer and sit with them and talk. But if they don't want to talk, I'm happy to leave them alone as well. If they just want to come in and have a coffee, then that's cool. I met a lady a couple weeks ago who came in for coffee, and we ended up chatting for almost 2 hours. She was blown away by how loved and accepted she felt. She had previous experience in the Catholic Church as a child, and that was not the experience that she had from churches before. She told me she felt like she could be herself, that I wasn't judging her, that I wasn't making her feel that she needed to act differently to be there. A lot of people in our community equate God with rules and church with judgment. We are really trying to break down these walls. God has really put it on my heart that these people just need to hear how much He loves them. They are His lost sheep. He left the 99 for them. And He has sent us to Cookstown to be His hands and His feet and to share this love with our community. Small towns can tend to be forgotten about. A lot of new church plants focus on cities, and for good reasons. But God has really put small towns on my heart. Most small towns have a couple mainline traditional churches, but many of them have been closing. I believe that God wants these people to know that He is not leaving them, even though these churches are closing. He cares for them deeply, and He is actively searching them out. This is our focus as a church. We have been called to leave the 99 and actively search for the one. So we started just by being present in our community. During the week, we didn't actually start gathering as a church until October 14th, so just last month. So today is actually only our sixth week, and I left them there. So they're doing well. We've got a good small team there that's taken over this morning, and our gatherings do reflect some church form, but it looks a little different. We meet in the coffee house, so people just sit around coffee tables, and I speak sitting in a chair among them. We have a real relational approach to church. Our church runs from 10 to 12 on Sunday mornings, but only about 45 minutes of that is organized. I'll just give you a bit of a picture of what's been going on Sunday mornings. People arrive around 10. We spend about 15 minutes having coffee and talking. Then at 10:15, we start to worship together. We open with a welcome and a prayer. Then we do two worship songs. We don't have a band. We just stick some YouTube lyric videos up on the wall on a projector, and we sing along. Then we do about a 10-15 minute message, and then we have about 10 to 15 minutes of discussion time where we can chat about what we're talking about and bring real life into the situation. Then we have one more worship song and a closing prayer. At this point, it's normally around 11, and we spend time connecting with each other, which normally actually lasts for longer than the service. We normally hang out there till around 12 and just have coffee and get to know each other, talk about life, talk about faith. So far, we've had, I'd say, an average of around 15 people there, 15 adults, and then anywhere from 5 to 10 kids. But, I mean, half of those are mine. But so, and every week God's been bringing out new people, so we never know what's going to happen on a Sunday. Neighbor from across the street wandered over one Sunday and came in and shared with us. And so there's some regular people that have started to join us, but every week's an adventure and finding out who God's going to send from the community that hopefully He can speak to. You can't go unnoticed when you walk into the coffee house. You can't really hide. We understand this might not be for everyone, but it's what the people God is connecting us with need. I also understand that some people in our community still won't come in and join us on a Sunday. But if they come for a coffee on a Wednesday and I can talk with them about faith and life and Jesus, I think that's good with me. You know, we're not putting all the pressure on Sundays, even though it's great to get together and we'd love for them to all join us. I don't want to see it as failing if I talk to somebody for 10 minutes and plant some seeds and then they never come back. I think God can still work in those situations. So the point I'm trying to make today is that God didn't call me to plant a church in Cookstown because I'm a traditional pastor. He called me to do this because He wanted me, my personality, my strengths, my abilities. I have to be confident in who I am in Christ and just go with that. This is the same for you. God has a specific plan for your life. He knows what he's doing. He knows the best path for you. Listen to him. Trust him. Believe that he knows what he is doing. Believe that he wouldn't ask you to do something that you aren't suited for, even if it makes no sense to you. I want to look at David for just a minute, actually, and the moment when Samuel goes to anoint him the next king of Israel. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to 13. I'm reading in the NLT version of the Bible. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of his sons to anoint for me." So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied. "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord had chosen." Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah, but Samuel said, "Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. As I read the passage, I can't help but think what is going through Samuel's mind. He is looking for someone like Saul. I mean, that's what a king looks like. That's why when he sees Jesse's first son, Eliab, he says, "Surely this is the one. I mean, look at him. He looks like a king." He didn't see that God was looking for someone different, someone who fit into his plan. David was clearly not thought of very highly by his family. He wasn't even acknowledged when Samuel tells Jesse to gather all his sons. It's only when Samuel asks him if there's anyone missing that he says, "Oh yeah, there's one more." We do not see things the way God sees things. I am sure David never thought of himself as someone who would be king. I don't think this thought would have ever crossed his mind. But that is where God takes him. God's purpose for you is way bigger than you can imagine. God sees David's heart and knows what he is capable of. This morning I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. Believe you are who he says you are, not who other people say you are or who you limit yourself to be. See your full potential. This doesn't mean that everything will just be wonderful all the time. God doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He wants to shape and mold us into the best possible versions of ourselves. David didn't become king overnight. It was a journey, one that took him through very hard times, fearing for his life as King Saul tried to kill him. But it was this journey that shaped his character and made him into the man who was ready to lead Israel as their king. He had to go through this to get him to where he was going. The verse that comes to mind when I think of that is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I can tell you that the past couple years have not been easy on me or my family, but they have been shaping me into the man God wants me to be, confident that I am able to do all that he has called me to do. David's family saw an unimportant kid, someone not even worth calling when the family got together, but God saw a king. David did great things because he believed who God said he was and believed that he was capable of doing what God called him to do. Don't just fall where other people say you belong. God's calling is always bigger than anything you could ever think of. I just going to close with some prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your calling on our lives. I thank you that you speak to us, each one of us, and that your plan for our lives is perfect, and that we are fully capable and able with you to do whatever it is you ask of us, Lord. I just pray that this week that you would speak your calling to these people here, Lord. And maybe you already have. Maybe they've pushed it to the side. Maybe they're afraid. Like that video even showed at the beginning, holding the rock. Maybe they're holding on to something that's not letting them dive into your calling completely, Lord. I pray that you would just give them the strength to let go of whatever it is and to trust you completely, to believe that they are who you say they are, and that they are capable of doing great things, Lord, and whatever it is you ask of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.